Awesome. Liz is our youth pastor here and married to Stu, mother of Nate. We're going to pray for you that God's going to fill you with his spirit, and we're going to pray for ourselves that the experience is a fruitful one. Father, thanks for Liz. Thanks for what you've put on our heart, Lord. We do all sorts of things here at St. B's. Thanks for a chance to take stock just for a few weeks to ask, why do we do the things that we do? Why do we do this? As Liz talks to us about why youth, why do we do youth work? Why do we invest so much of our time and energy into our youth ministry here, Lord? We pray that you would stir our hearts. I pray, Lord, for each one of us that you actually, we are supposed to be involved in youth work, either here or another church or in another organization, that you would quicken our hearts as we hear you speak to us through Liz, that you would show us your calling on our life, how to get involved, actually do something in response to what you're saying. I pray you bless Liz and bring glory to yourself now as we hear you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Can't hear? Okay. Oh, now you can. We're good. I did switch the thing on. Okay, good. To tell a youth pastor to speak on youth work is like saying to a singer, can you just tell us why people should sing? Or saying to a teacher, oh, tell us why kids should go to school. For me, it's quite obvious. But I'm sorry, that's not the end of my sermon. It would be quite a nice short one for you, but no, I've got a little bit more to say. I am going to answer that question. I am going to answer the whole thing of why do we do youth work. But when I've been preparing this, I've been really wrestling with some other stuff that I feel God wants to say kind of through youth work, through how we do youth work. So I wanted to start off a little bit with my own journey, if that's all right. Mainly because I think when people think about youth work, they think that, oh, you need sort of training with this and you need experience with this. That is really helpful, particularly for those who have just joined our training, by the way. We're not dissing that. People often think, I must have qualifications or I can't possibly do that. And I guess a little bit of my story is how God can take you from one place, from thinking, absolutely useless, couldn't possibly do this, to completely changing your life round and showing you that you can do stuff you never thought you could do. So for me, I joined church properly, if you like, after university. I didn't go to uni in church, other way around. I didn't go to church at uni, long day. But I just wasn't interested for the first 7 years of my Christian faith. I wasn't interested in church. A little bit ironic, considering where I am now. For me, it was irrelevant. It was boring. I just didn't see how it affected my life. But at the same time, I had a very real, very personal relationship with Jesus. So he kind of took me on a fairly long journey. I think I probably chose to go around the houses a few times and he would have gone straight ahead. But I ended up going to church after uni, a large church in the centre of Guildford called St. Saviour's, where I went in and the worship was great. I enjoyed the songs. They weren't kind of distant and weird. They were really, really good. And I could worship God in this whole new way. There were people there who were my age and normal. I was like, wow, okay, I didn't know this actually could happen. I studied media at uni and I got a job at Sky News. And about that same sort of time, I started volunteering in the youth work for the church. And it took about 2 months for God to break my heart for the young people that I was working with, to change years of study and ambition and a goal to go right up the career ladder where I was already had a foot in the door, and just changed that direction and called me to a different place. I wanted to be with these young people. I wanted to be there for them. I wanted to be showing them Jesus, and I didn't care anymore about the pathway that I was on in the media. But I had to wait, and I waited for a year and a half, clinging on to God, just saying to him, I'll go wherever you want. I'll do whatever you want. I'll train. I'll go and move to wherever to go and do youth work. And he just kept me where I was, learning lessons of life, learning lessons of what it is to follow him in a hard place, and actually just squeezing in voluntary youth work around 12-hour shifts. It was a bit crazy. But after a while, a door opened in my own church to go and be the full-time youth worker there, working alongside someone else. And that's how it all started nearly 9 years ago. That's a bit scary. But it was during that time of waiting that God really got down to specifics for me. You see, our church had been renovated, and so we were going to dedicate the whole place in prayer. So this was when I was, you know, I was juggling quite a lot. I was doing my shifts. I was doing the volunteering. I was coming to church. I just wanted to watch EastEnders. I did not want to go and pray. I did not want to go and pray around the church. And, somehow I got out the door. I marched myself out there, came into the church, sat down begrudgingly, looking around me, going, oh, okay, I'm here. It was from that place that God graciously spoke to me. He walked me, I think, into a room with classical music and silence and people being very silent. And not really my scene. So I kind of sat down and went, okay, great, okay, here I am. And Lord, you know, I want to pray for this church. And God kind of interrupted and gave me a picture. It was a picture of a lake and of me as a little child standing on the edge of this lake. And some ways, I don't know if anyone else does this, I sometimes go, oh, that's what God's got for me. Great, move on. Because I wanted to get back and see the end of EastEnders. I said, oh, thanks, God. You obviously wanted me here. You obviously wanted me to be encouraged. You obviously wanted me to know peace, to know what it was to be childlike. That image of the lake, wonderful. Thanks very much. Moved on. Quickly went into this other room where, again, it was kind of silence, but this time there was just a pile of stones in the middle. And I sat down, slightly looking at my watch, and God said to me, I haven't finished. So I sat down. And I closed my eyes. And God said, go and pick up a stone. I said, now I'll look silly if I do that. I'm not going to do that. Go and pick up a stone. I avoided it for a little while. I tried to make myself busy. But the message was still the same. Go and pick up a stone. So I went forward, picked up one of the stones, and sat back down. I closed my eyes. And immediately got this picture again. And at this point, I hadn't really done a lot of kind of the prophecy stuff. I hadn't really stepped out with the gifts of the Holy Spirit. So this was all quite eye-opening for me, how vivid this picture was of me back as a child on the side of this lake and with Jesus standing on the center of this lake. And in this picture, he called to me. And I ran out as a child carrying this stone to him. And he turned to me and he said, Liz, you're going to change stones. I said to him in this dialogue picture thing, I said, but you can't change stones. That's impossible. You can't. And Jesus said to me, no, you can't. And he put his hand underneath my hand and he said, but I can. And it was a matter of weeks after that that I learned that I got the job in the church and that things started to happen for me. And I knew from that moment that God was confirming for me that I was called to young people. That I was called to the people that I thought, surely that's not possible. Surely, how can God reach them? For me, it was about God saying, the stuff you think is unchangeable, the people you think are unreachable, I'm going to do it. And you know what? It's going to be nothing to do with you to some extent. It's going to be everything to do with me. But I want to use you and your hand and your willing heart to go and do it. All about him. And me just going, as a child, okay, I'll give this a try. Only a few days after I got that picture, I randomly stumbled across this verse. And it's hidden in Matthew. It's Matthew 3. And it's at the end of this quite scary rant from John the Baptist. And it's not really, if you were thinking, oh, Liz is going to talk on youth work, you wouldn't really have pictured me pulling up this verse. But anyway, we're going to give it a try. For me, as you can see the significance at the end of this rant, but to put it in context, we've got here John baptizing people that when they heard about the coming king, when they heard that things were going to change, things were shifting, they listened and they repented and they turned from their sins and they knew that this was a fresh start that they needed. And on the side of the riverbank are people who just sort of feeling, I think I'm all right, actually. I'm a bit too religious for this repentance lark. I'm just going to watch and see what's going on. And it's to those people that John just lets rip. And if you can bring up that first slide. In in the Bibles that you've got, it comes out like this. Produce fruit in keeping with repentance and do not think you can say to yourselves, we have Abraham as our father. I tell you that out of these stones, God can raise up children for Abraham. Now, for me, I'd never really read this verse and was like, oh my gosh, that's about changing stones. That's for me. That's what God said to me. And I'm just going to give you the verse that's in the New Living Translation because it just puts it a little bit differently. So if we can click on the next slide. Prove by the way you live that you've repented of your sins and turned to God. Don't just say to each other, we're safe for we're descendants of Abraham. Click on the next slide, thank you. That means nothing, for I tell you, God can create children of Abraham from these very stones. Rereading this passage nearly 9 years after I first received it, I felt God wanted to say two things to us tonight. And the first one is actually pretty similar to what he said to me originally. Changing stones is impossible. It's impossible. But our Creator God can do it. Our God can do the impossible. God can think outside the little comfortable box that we like to put him in and explode into our lives. Explode into the lives of people who you think, well, they're not very Christian. Oh, well, they don't look like that, or they don't look like this, or they're not saying that. He can go beyond our limitations every single time. Changing stones. It's what Jesus was all about, going against what was expected of God and showing what it really means. God can and does do the unthinkable, the shockable, and it amazes us. I think sometimes it frustrates us. The scandal of grace. Oh, what's this about? And it's incredible at the same time. And the most amazing thing is he will do the impossible through us. Through us. If you don't believe me, look at the disciples. He asks them to reach in for the bread and to feed the 5,000. He asks them to do it. He asks them to go out and to cast out demons and heal the sick. Normal blokes. He asks them to do it. And maybe for you, if you are a young person, I'm just going to talk to people who aren't for a second. Maybe for you, young people seem a bit unreachable. How do I talk? I'm a bit intimidated. The stuff you see on the news, the image that's portrayed. Can God really use me? Can God really reach into this situation? When we hear endless gang violence or stabbings, can God really go there? Can God really use me? But for me, I think it's about us as children going out to Jesus with that simple faith and saying, here I am, use me. Use me. I think you can do the impossible, God. I think you can do it through me, and I think you want to. So let me go. Show me what to do. And, the thing that I feel that God wants to say to you, you may be sitting here thinking, I'm not called to youth work, and that is okay. Not everyone is. I think most people are, but not everyone is. You're sitting here and you're thinking, yeah, but you know what? My family member, my work colleague, I've started to think they're unreachable. They're unchangeable. I've started to think it's going to be impossible to ever see God in this situation. And I feel that through some of the stuff God wants to share with us tonight about youth ministry, he wants to speak to you. If you're sitting here right now with someone who you think is unchangeable, if someone who you think God can't reach, God wants to tell you tonight, I can do all things. I can change stones. These very stones can become children of Abraham. So, if God's into the business of turning worlds upside down, of doing things we don't expect, what does that look like on the ground here to answer the question, why do we do youth ministry? It means, really, that we want to meet young people where they're at. We want to meet them and get into a relationship with them, get to know them, love them, care for them, quite simply because God does, so we do. And that's what we aim to do. Be in a relationship with them and do the journey of life together, pointing out Jesus along the way. The aim to introduce them to Jesus, to see lives transformed, and then ultimately for them to go and be leaders themselves. For you guys to go and do it yourselves, because you have the voice in amongst your mates and amongst your generation. So that's what we're trying to do. And you know, I think that's a pretty good place to start for any stone changer. For those people that you're thinking about being unreachable, just doing the journey with them and pointing out Jesus along the way. is that that's being faithful. That's being faithful to all he asks and trusting him. So if you still don't believe me, in a minute I'm going to invite someone up. She's a very special person. I first met this person. I've known her since she was 15. I met her in the old Hope House building, for those of you who know it. It's down by Cornerstone. We were singing karaoke. Who says you can't share the gospel while singing karaoke? And no, it wasn't worship songs. I made a fool of myself with everyone else. And I remember clocking this girl in this group and being utterly terrified of her. Okay? Utterly terrified. I'd just had a week where I'd started here, brand new, and some of you are going to remember this, although the one person is not here as well, I'm going to totally take the mick out of. I just had a week of getting to know all of the youth. Yeah, you're smiling, you remember this. All of the youth from scratch, okay? This is quite a lot of names and quite a lot of proving myself that I had to do. And I just had my initiation from our 11 to 14s group, where the lovely, wonderful Ruth Ginger, who apparently is on holiday, so I can't even point and laugh, decided to give me a little initiation, came up, gave me this incredibly warm hug and slapped a kick me badge on the back of my back. First Sunday here, okay? Thankfully for me, Ruth realised I wasn't born yesterday, took off the label and gave her the look that she has come to know and love. And since that point, we've been best friends. But that was my kind of week that I'd had. And here I am in this youth group now, seeing this girl, feeling a bit intimidated, thinking, what can I offer her? Why is she going to want to talk to me? Does she even have a connection with church? When she finds out that I work for a church, what's she going to do? Quite honestly, I would have been happy just to leave it, but I felt God push me in her direction, so I'm going to invite her up now. Can we have a massive round of applause for Miss Jo Jakes, please? She's taking her time. Now she's quite nervous. Oh, I better get a thing for you to actually be able to speak. Just check this is working. There we go. Is this all right, Dave? Thank you. Hello. Hi. I have kind of a... I don't need this, do I? There you go. But I'm going to hold it. Right, I need my questions because I've forgotten what I'm going to say to you. Okay, Jo, can you share with us a little bit, because some people here will know you really well, some people won't, can you share with us a little bit about your background, about your family, and what life was like for you growing up?
Okay, from the age I was 1 to 6, I was in and out of foster care because my mum couldn't look after me and my brothers and sisters, and she was on drugs and drink and all of that. And then at the age I was 6 and a half, I got adopted into, well, with my mum who was Christian.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you. Do you remember when you first made a decision to follow Jesus?
I do. Basically, I went to church with my mum from the age I was 6 and a half, because I got dragged along, and carried on going for years. And then there was a baptism service at her church, and I was like, I want to get baptized. All my friends getting baptized, why not? Go and do it. So I got baptized, and shortly after I got baptized, I completely went off the rails, was involved in drink, drugs, gangs, everything. And so I did that. And then I went to a youth club called Hope House, which I don't think is open anymore, and got invited along to the church. And I was like, oh, go to church, great. So I came along and I came to the Five, and I'd been going to Five for don't know how long, but was coming. And it was around Easter time, and Liz was talking in the Five about laying all your burdens and rubbish down at the cross. And I got hold of her and I was like, I really want to do that. I really want to move on with my life. Haven't been great and been involved in what I've been involved in. So I want to do that. So I did that. And then I think maybe a few weeks after, in the 7:30 service when it was, there was a word, or can't remember exactly how it happened, but there was like, okay, there's somebody here who can either go down the way that they're going or go down the road to follow Jesus and try and live the right life. And I was like, okay, that's for me. So I think Liz was here again, so I grabbed her and I was like, can I go up to the front for prayer? And I came up to the front and I stood there and I was like, okay, my decision is move forward and do it God's way and not try and fight it my own way, as I was best doing, didn't care. So that's what I did. So, yeah.
Okay. Sounds good, doesn't it? And Joe, can you just tell us, what are you doing with your life now?
I finished doing my level 3 childcare about a year ago. And about a month ago, I got a job working in a private nursery with 0 to 3-year-olds. And I do Friday Night Chill on a Friday.
And she's a youth worker herself. Thank you, Joe. I want to share that. I've had the privilege to walk alongside Joe as she's done her part of the journey that we've all got to take. And, you know, for me, I've seen how God has reached her and loved her and brought transformation in her life. To someone who statistics and society and sometimes school and different voices of authority and myself have considered unreachable. My first reaction was, how can I reach her? How can I possibly make a difference? And God goes ahead and beyond and surprises us every time. But that's not the end of the story. That's the first bit of what I feel God's challenging us about today. The second bit is less of a warm, fuzzy feeling. We can't just kind of hear Joe's testimony and leave feeling a bit more encouraged. Yes, that is half of it. But the other half is a challenge that lies, I think, with us and is at the heart of youth ministry. It's right at the end of John's rant, and it's where he just simply says, prove by the way you live that you've turned to God. Prove by the way you live. Because you see, the thing is, working with young people, they spot a fake. They're not fools. And you can't pretend to be perfect, just as much as you can't pretend to hide an area of your life. It's about doing the journey with them. It's about allowing the Holy Spirit to continue to change me. It's about allowing Joe to speak into my life as much as I speak into hers. You see, it has to be about our lives before, really, our words. And I think that, for me, is a challenge that's here for all of us, because it really doesn't matter whether it's youth ministry or whether it's our mate at work or whether it's our dad or whether it's anyone. It's got to be about our lives, because otherwise it's empty words. We want to change lives in St. Bees, but we can't stop being changed ourselves as we go on this journey together. And I feel that God wants to just really encourage but also challenge us through the stuff I'm sharing about youth ministry, about how we do that journey together. For me, I found out this pretty quickly when I was getting into youth ministry. You see, I found myself coming to church and tweaking the person that I was slightly to fit in a bit more here. And then when I'd leave, I'd just resort back. And God quite clearly said to me, you can't be two people, Liz. You can't be two people. And he gave me a choice. Who do you want to be? Who do you want to be? For me, it was drinking and it was swearing, particularly swearing. That was when it was a real challenge. Because what I'd do is I'd come into church and I'd stop and I'd leave and go and meet up with my non-Christian mates and swear like a trooper. And God just sort of said to me, what are you doing? Be both. It was almost like he said to me, okay, you think you're so hard. Speak like that in church. And I kind of went, oh, I don't think I should. And so I realized I had a bit of a problem here. I didn't want to be a hypocrite. And slowly, as I opened that part of my life up to God, as I'm there with these young people saying, no, if you've just said whatever you said to him, that's not great. I can't be going off and saying whatever he just said to him to them, that person. And God just slowly, word by word, helped me stop. Because the Bible says we shouldn't, so I probably shouldn't. Those of you who know me, now I'm still on that journey now and again when I get stressed. So I apologise for that. I need to be real. I stopped smoking because I was trying to hide it. So if I'm going to smoke, then I smoke in church and I smoke in front of the young people and I say, right, well, this is who I am. No, I don't want to do that. So that means it's not okay. It's not okay in my life. It's not what God's best is for me. So actually something needs to change. And I won't ever forget the wrestling in my mind with thinking about getting back into relationships with guys that weren't Christians. That temptation that was there for me when I was there looking at this very topic with young people, opening up the Bible with young people and saying, oh, what does the Bible say? What's God's heart for you? Whilst I'm there in my head going, oh, this is really difficult. I couldn't go off on that way when I was actually opening up the Bible to these guys and we were doing this journey together and God was saying, no, this is my best for you. And this is for your life, Liz, as well as for your ministry. It has to be more than words. John the Baptist doesn't put it that gently. This for him is serious business. And when we imagine that picture by the River Jordan, I don't want to be on the riverbank with the Pharisees and the Sadducees watching the transformation happen to other people. I want to be as if it's brand new for me today and I'm constantly on that journey and I'm saying, yes, Lord, change me. Do the unexpected. I don't want to rest on anything that will stop Jesus' transforming love in me from changing and growing me. John accused them of relying on the fact that they were descendants of Abraham. That's what they were relying on. Sometimes what do we rely on? Are we there ready to be open to still that transforming, challenging, changing love of Jesus in the same way as we see him working in the lives of all our amazing young people? Are we still there, allowing our lives to speak to the people that we want to see Jesus break into their lives? The reason I felt to bring this challenge tonight is because it really isn't just about youth work. It's about all of our journeys. But it is central to how we do youth work. I want my life to be changing and growing, as well as the young people's to be changing and growing, as well as the volunteers who are helping me out, because it's our lives that speaks to them. But it all sounds quite hard work, doesn't it? It all sounds a bit of a, blimey, this isn't quite what I, you know, banked on. I want to come to church, enjoy the worship. This is what Rob Bell calls open heart surgery, where Jesus comes and really comes in up close and personal and changes our lives. But why transform lives? Why change the world? Why have this big vision statement? And because it's for me, it's one sentence. It's one sentence that keeps me going when I face this mountain of impossible. It's one sentence that keeps me going when I'm cleaning the chocolate off the floor or picking the popcorn out of the lampshade or whatever it is. One sentence that for all of us should just be in our sights as we look to the people we think are unreachable. And we sigh and we think, Lord, what's going on? And why is this so hard? And oh, why should I bother? You see, we've had the get ready from John the Baptist, and now the answer comes from John 10:10, and it's a couple of slides along, I think. And he simply says, the thief comes to steal and destroy, but I have come to bring life and life in its fullness. That's why. That's why we do youth ministry, because I want to see every single young person have life as God ordained it. Have life in its fullness and what that real definition means. I don't want them to think of themselves as stones, dead, a bit tired, forgotten, just striving to make it through each day. I want them to know that they are chosen. You are chosen. You are special. You are incredible. You are worth dying for. And you can make an impact on your generation, on your lives right now. That's why. Anything else, anything short of a full life as God ordained it, is just simply not good enough for me. That's why we do youth work. And actually, that's why we do anything here at the church. That's why I think we're Christians, isn't it? Because actually, Jesus said life in its fullness is this way, and other people are going that way, so someone's got to do something. That's why we do youth work. And for me, along this journey, it's about us constantly being open and ready for Jesus to change us as we hope and seek and pray for change in other people's lives. Don't believe me quite yet. I'm going to ask one more person to come up. Can we have a big round of applause for Mike Franks, please? You see, the final bit that I want to just bring about specifically our ministry at St. Bees for young people is we're really passionate about young people being young leaders, because these guys are stone changers now. You often hear, sometimes, I hear it quite a lot and it really annoys me, that young people are the leaders of the future. No, they're not. They're the leaders now. They're the leaders in the schools. They're the leaders in their peers. They're the leaders in their generation. And actually, they're then the stone changers. They're then the ones who take up this ministry. Mike, not to put too much pressure on you, can you share with us, can you remember when you first made a decision to follow Jesus?
I can't really remember. But,
all right, get off.
yeah, I've kind of been coming to church like all my life. I've grown up in a Christian family, so it's kind of been quite good in that way. Yeah, it's been like a journey. But I think, yeah, over the past few years, I've really kind of shot off on the journey and kind of it's been a lot easier, and I've learned a lot more through kind of leadership roles and things like that. So yeah.
So what sort of difference has knowing Jesus made in your life? How does this look like life in its fullness for you?
I think it's just kind of confidence and being able to be who God wants me to be everywhere. Like, I really like acting, and the thing with kind of acting is that, like, a lot of actors tend to be kind of this person with these friends and this person with these friends, but then I've kind of realized that I need to be this person with everyone, and I think that's been a real challenge, but something that God's kind of really been helping me with. Thanks.
Sorry, got that scribbled down here.
Okay.
So give me some examples for your life, what that looks like.
Yeah, so I've made the decision not to drink, like, alcohol, which is a big thing in kind of the teenage world, because everyone, yeah, I think like all of my friends drink. So it's just being that person that I'd be around church, and being that person that God wants me to be in with my friends as well, and being able to stand up and say, no, actually, I don't drink, and the impact that makes. Also, this is the one that Liz wants me to say that I'm a bit embarrassed about.
Okay, I'd just like to say, he is happy to say this, but he's quite embarrassed, so I'm up here with a gun to his back, so.
It's on the list, like, beckoning, I've seen it anyway. My decision not to have sex with my girlfriend.
You see? Round of applause!
Yeah, I think that's a big thing that, like, obviously the Bible says that we shouldn't have sex before marriage, and so yeah, I wanna follow Jesus' teaching, and so even when my friends are saying that that's wrong, and yeah, saying the world's point of view, I can still kind of come back and say, actually, this is what I believe is right, and this is what I believe the way to live life to the full is.
You need to know as well, the amount of peer pressure that I have witnessed for these guys and seen over Facebook and stuff like that is crazy, absolutely crazy. And I have seen Mike's strength from his faith that he's had to draw on to actually withstand that peer pressure. So, Mike, we've just talked about young people then being leaders and influencing other people in that way. How has that made a difference to you?
I think it's made a big difference to me in kind of just my relationship with God, because I think the first thing I did was that you asked me to do was to be like a youth alpha small group leader. And through that kind of leadership role, I realized that I had to work at my own life before I could start trying to tell other people how they're supposed to be. It's that verse that says, why are you pointing out that piece of dust in someone else's eye when you've got a plank of wood in your own eye? And I think that's been kind of really relevant to me. And I think that's what I've been striving towards, to try and get my life all as one and to work on my own life before I tell other people what they're supposed to do. And I think just recently, I've been praying and praying that kind of I'll be able to get through to my friends through showing them Jesus' love and stuff. And even just this first week back at school, I had a kind of a sticky situation where I was coming off to church for like a meeting here, and one of my friends was like, "Oh, where are you going?" Like, because I usually turn down a different road, and I was like, "Oh no!" So I was like, "Oh, I'm just going to church for a meeting," and he was like, "Oh, cool," and I was like, "What?" And yeah, so I went off, and like we kind of talked about it a bit then, and then even the next day he came up to me and said, like, "How was the meeting?" And he started asking me, he was like, "Oh, do you usually go to that, like, on a Tuesday or whatever?" And I was like, "Yeah, there's a thing on a Sunday and a thing on a Tuesday as well." So that was really cool. And, like, yeah, it was just showing me that God is at work in the whole of my life and not just when I'm at church. So, cool. Yeah.
Michael, thank you so much for sharing that stuff. Thank you to share those words. Why do we do youth work? Because we're called to show the love of Jesus in whichever way possible to everyone and to young people. And we're called to do that through our lives, speaking to them and us getting alongside them on their journey and pointing out Jesus along the way. But youth ministry can also teach us a few things. It can teach us to set our sights on the impossible, on the unchangeable. And remember that Jesus said, "No, I've come to bring life and life in its fullness for everyone." And there are no impossibles or unreachables in that statement. But it's also to remember that as we go out tonight, we need to be praying that that transforming love of Jesus will continue to be at work in our lives, so that we're never left on the riverbank watching the transformation happen, but that we're part of it and we're knowing that life in its fullness for ourselves. So that we can then go out and see lives changed as our lives are changed as well. I'm just going to share a few words that a few of the young people were praying for the 7 o'clock before the 5. Crazy words. We have a 14 to 18s youth congregation, you've heard, it's called the 5, that happens just before this. Come up, it's fine. We gathered a few people together and we just listened to God, really, for you guys. I have to say that when young people pray, guys, you challenge me so much. Don't ever quieten your voice when you pray, because you are so challenging. You're the most passionate people I ever pray with. And I work in a church. You know, you really are. And these guys, they passionately prayed for you and they listened to the Lord. Colin, I'm not sure how you want to do this, but Mike's just going to read a few things that we felt maybe God's saying through tonight for you guys. Let's check that's on. No, it's not. Okay.
We got a word about a woman who's been really praying for their child, but has seen their child kind of going down the wrong path. And we feel that maybe this woman is called into youth work, but she doesn't want to see other people going down the same path that her child's gone down. And we think that word is kind of to get prayer for your child, and also maybe to think about coming into youth work. We also got the name Mark, who maybe his sister has turned away from God and he's lost hope. The name Lucy, who's worked in a leadership role outside of church, but really has a heart for leading, and so maybe she's called to youth work. We got a picture of a stone with a jagged edge, and the finger's been cut on the edge of it. And we feel like that person's maybe been kind of wounded by the person that they really want to know God. We think you need prayer to ask God to soften your heart again. We just got the name Jake. Nothing about that, just the name. also a word about someone who's afraid to step out and thinks that leadership roles are for special people. Also a girl that's dragged like her best friend along, and yeah, just pray for that. Also, we kind of feel, this is the last one, that maybe someone has kind of sat through this and listened and heard some of the testimonies and maybe was here last week when someone became a Christian. And we think that someone might want to become a Christian tonight and just give their life over to God.
Thank you. Stay out here if you want to.
Right. Okay.
John.
Yeah. Come on. There we are. Thanks, Dave.
Super. So, well, why don't we respond to that one first? If you're here this evening, if you've never given your life to Jesus, and you're sitting there thinking, he's not going to say what I think he's going to say, is he? I am. If you've never given your life to Jesus and you think, well, I've seen enough, I might not have all your questions answered, but I know there's something I want to get and find out more about Jesus now. Following Jesus is hard. Standing up for Jesus is hard. So start as you mean to continue. I just want to give you the opportunity now just to stand up now and just come to the front. So if you've never given your life to Jesus before, I'm not talking about if you want to recommit your life, but you think, I've never really done this properly before and I want to do it now, stand up and come to the front. I want to give you the opportunity to do that. I'll give you another opportunity to do it a bit more discreetly after the service, but now's the time to do it. To start, you mean to continue? All right. Check it out. Yeah, come on. That's gutsy. That's gutsy. All right. Is there anyone else who you think, I've never really done this before, I want this life, this abundant life that Liz has been talking about and Jesus promised. And I want that now. I just want to give you the opportunity to do it now. You can give your life to Jesus another way, another time if you want to. But now will be a great time to do it really publicly and boldly. Going. Come on. Awesome. Liz. Liz is going to pray with you. And God bless you. Knowing Jesus is great. It's really great. It is life in all abundance. So it's not easy, but it's great. Marianne, have you got some other prophetic words you're going to share? As well as the youth team, there was another team that were praying before the service, and just some things we feel, again, the Lord might be wanting to say specifically in addition to all the other stuff.
I think following on from what Mike had, someone who's called for leadership and is really hesitant, God has a word for you. Joshua 3:7. And the Lord said to Joshua, today I will begin to exhort you in the eyes of all Israel, so that they may know that I am with you, as I was with Moses. God is with you. Step out in that leadership role. We also felt God just wanted to remind us that with God, we have everything. We really do have everything with God. Focus your eyes on Christ and not on a burden, is another word we felt. An invitation from God, not to be spectators, but to actually be participation. If that is linked, help my unbelief, Lord, help me in my unbelief. And God is saying, he's saying to us all the time, I love you, I love you, I love you. But he's saying particularly for someone sitting in the middle on that side, and I know that person knows it's her. God loves you. He really, really loves you. Amen. And we got three physical conditions we felt God would really like to touch you and heal. One is someone with pain in a left hand, someone with pain in a left temple up here, and someone with a problem in a right knee.
Left hand, left temple, right knee. All right, yeah. Great. If any of those conditions are yours, we would love to pray for you. If the other things that Marianne said describe you in some way, is God saying, come and respond. We're going to, the band are going to come back up again, Jonathan, but I'm going to close the service because I want to give opportunity for people to pray. If God has been pressing your button this evening and saying, I want you to either pray more for young people or get involved in youth ministry here or somewhere else, I would encourage you to respond. If God has been poking you to say, okay, God, and come forward and pray, and we'll help you discern what that's all about and where to go. If any of these words have described you, we'd love to. If you do want to give your life to Jesus, but you're like, the thought of doing it as publicly as this is like, maybe not. Again, you can come. God will take you anytime, any place, anywhere. And again, just really encourage you, the Women's Day and the Kettlebell Men's Evening, which is with Thursday at 8:30. That's the information for that's in the bulletins. There's lots of ways of responding. Let's stand. I'm going to say a final prayer blessing. There's tea and coffee available. Please.